Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, this morning, I'm going to try my hardest not to be like the preacher that I heard about a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, I heard about a preacher who had died and was at the pearly gates waiting to go to heaven. And he was in line behind a New York taxi driver. And so they're in line, and then people are being assigned where they're going to live. And the New York taxi driver gets up before the pastor, and they said, "Oh, sir, we've been waiting for you. We've got this beautiful mansion right there on Main Street. It's the third one from the left, and welcome to heaven." And so this taxi driver was so excited, went down to his new mansion, and the preacher is standing there thinking, "Wow, look at that place. If a New York taxi driver gets a house like that, I'm a preacher. Imagine the house I'm going to get." And so he steps up next in line, and the angel says, "Oh, Reverend, we've been waiting for you. You've got a beautiful little condo right over there in the edge of town over there." And the pastor said, wait a minute here. I'm a preacher. I've been preaching all my life. And the taxi driver gets that huge mansion over there, and I get a condo. What's going on?" And the angel said, well, preacher, I have to be honest with you. We reward people for results." And he said, "Face it. A lot of the times when you preached, people got bored and they went to sleep." On the other hand, that taxi driver, every time he drove somebody, they prayed like they had never prayed before. So, anyway, I'll try not to be that way today. Yes. This morning we're launching our Christmas series, and it's called The Real Gifts of Christmas. And we're going to be talking for the next few weeks about those things that you can't buy with money, those things that you won't find under a Christmas tree, the things that Jesus paid for with his own blood, the real things of the heart that we're looking for, that we're longing for. And so this morning we're going to be talking about joy. And then from here on out, we're going to be talking about love, we're going to be talking about reconciliation, and we're going to be talking about peace. Joy, love, reconciliation, and peace. And there's probably a lot of things we could put on that list, but I thought those are four big ones that we all want in our lives. And this morning we're going to be talking about joy. And at the conclusion of the teaching time this morning, we're going to have a time of prayer. And I am asking God for, I am believing God for an outpouring of his joy upon hearts and lives today. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never really experienced true joy in your heart. And my prayer is that the joy of the Lord is going to flood your heart today. Or perhaps you've known joy in your life, but somehow that joy is missing now and you've been robbed of your joy. And I want you to know God is a great restorer and he can restore your joy. And I've been praying all week, actually for the last couple of weeks, about this message. And I am asking God for a tidal wave of his joy today, because it is so essential. And our text this morning is a part of the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Everybody say joy. Great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great cloud of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I want to just back up to verses 19 and or 10 and 11 rather again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So circle a couple of things in your Bible: good news and great joy. Good news and great joy. That word there, good news, is the word that we actually get the word evangelism from. It's the Greek word euangelion, which kind of morphed into evangelism. So when we tell people about Jesus, we're telling them good news. Now, the word there for good is actually a little stronger than our English word good. Sometimes we use the word good to kind of mean, well, it's not great, but it's good. And but this word actually is a lot bigger than that. It's this word means better than good. It means great. This is great news. This is incredible news. This is amazing news, this news of Jesus. And notice that this good news is going to bring great joy. It's going to bring great joy. Now, the reason this was such great news, the reason this was going to bring such great joy, is because this was the announcement of the coming of the Messiah. And the Jewish people have been waiting for the Messiah for centuries, all right? Not for weeks. You know how hard it can be to just wait for something for weeks, right? You just can't wait for it. The coming of the Messiah was prophesied centuries earlier. So they've been waiting not for days, not for weeks, not even for years. They've been waiting for centuries. And now, here he is, the birth of Messiah. Now, there had been several false Christs, false messiahs, people claiming to be the Messiah that had shown up on the scene. But I want you to know, when it comes to Jesus, he gets like angelic verification. This is the real one. So not only do they have the witness of these angels, but they also have the testimony that when they go to Bethlehem, they find everything exactly as the angels had said. So there's this prophetic word that's given, and then it has verification that when they show up, it says everything was exactly as the angel said. So this was confirmation to these angels that even though you've heard of false messiahs, this is the real deal. This Jesus is the Christ. So no wonder it was such good news that our Savior has come. The coming of Jesus, guys, is great news. Great news. Great joy. This is why so many of our Christmas songs are joyful songs of celebration. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, right? Because this is great news. It's the joy. Jesus is good news. He brings great joy. And in this Christmas season, my prayer for you is that this is going to be a joyful season for you, that you're going to celebrate with all of your heart the coming of Christ. And I know in our culture, we kind of have to peel back some stuff to get there. We kind of need to throw away and throw aside some of the trappings of American Christmas, right? Some of the stuff that's there. We have to get to the heart of the matter, who is Jesus Christ. And when we get there, it's something to celebrate. It's great joy. Because there's so much out there, right, that could rob us of joy. A lot of things out there that can, right? I don't know about you. This last election kind of robbed me of a little joy. It was a challenging time. And just stuff in the news and things going on in our world. And then, you know, personal battles that we face, they can rob us of joy too. There's so many things out there that if we allow them, they will rob us of the joy that God wants to have. But remember this, joy is one of the hallmarks of the Christian life. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, first thing on the list. But what's the second thing on the list? Joy, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And we talk a lot about love, and we should. But the second thing on that list of the fruit of the Spirit, or the evidence of the Spirit of God working in our lives, is that there's going to be joy in our lives. Joy. So this morning, I just want to talk to you a little bit about joy. And the first thing I want you to know about joy is this. Joy originates in God Himself. Joy originates in the very nature and character of God. Did you know that God is happy? I'm going to say that again. Did you know God is happy? And by the way, for the sake of my message, I want you to know this. I'm going to use the words joy and happy. I'm going to use those words interchangeably, okay? Because there's a lot of people that think, well, joy is really spiritual and happiness is just temporary happiness, worldly happiness. The Bible really doesn't make that distinction. The fact is, as far as the words for joy and happiness, the fact is the Bible talks about temporary joy and it talks about real godly joy. The Bible talks about temporary circumstantial happiness, but it also talks about eternal God happiness. I'm going to need a little bit of water there. You can throw it. I'll catch it. Or you can, there's one right there. I don't care whose water it is, just anybody. Thank you. So I'm going to use those words interchangeably, and I want you to know that God is happy. He is a God of joy. Now, when I was a kid, I got to tell you, I used to think God was always angry. And the reason I thought that is because I wasn't raised in church, but once in a while, a friend of mine would bring me to his church, and I won't tell you what denomination it was, and I'd go to church, and nobody was happy. Not only was nobody happy, but there was these stained glass windows that had pictures of God and pictures of Jesus on them, and God wasn't happy. I mean, every picture up there, God was so stern. And I remember visiting church and going, why is God mad all the time? And it really kind of scared me. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I was almost afraid to go to church because I didn't want to look at those pictures of God being mad. And it gave me a very distorted view of who God is. And I got to tell you, the day that I found out that God is joyful, it was a day that changed my life. I realized that God is actually kind and loving and joyful. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians have lost, they've lost that. They've lost track of that. I remember several years ago, there was a guy that had visited our church a couple of times and he wanted to meet with me, so I met with him. Came to my office, we sit down and start talking, and the first thing he says, he looks at me and he says, look, you're not one of those happy churches, are you? And I said, well, like, compared to what, miserable churches? I said, sir, I got to tell you, I have a feeling this church is not for you. I'll just tell you right up front. Yes, we're happy. We have the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Did you know that the devil wants you to have a distorted view of who God is? The devil wants to lie to us about God. But just look at creation itself. Even the very creation expresses the joy of God. A beautiful pink and orange sunset, vividly colored flowers, the wondrous animal kingdom and all the varieties of animals. The creation itself is an expression of God's joy. Now listen, I'm not saying that God never gets angry. He does. God has feelings. God weeps with those who weep. God can have a sad heart. God feels all of those things. But I want you to know, underlying all of that, God's very nature and character is that God is a joyful God. He's a God of joy. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 11 says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So I want you to notice a couple of things about that verse. First of all, I want you to notice that in our times of struggle, sorrow, and heartache, it's actually God's joy that helps us get through those things. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the other thing I want you to see about this, it's not our joy, it's the joy of the Lord. This joy comes from God, and God couldn't give us joy if he wasn't a joyful God, right? So our God is a God of joy. Psalm 17 and verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." God is a God of joy. Notice that. In the presence of God, there's joy. Psalm 21 and verse 6, "Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence." Again, we see joy in the very presence of God. Now, one of the things that you need to know about God's joy is one of the things that makes God joyful is you. Do you know that? Do you know that God smiles at you? Not because he thinks you're funny, but God rejoices over you. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 5, "As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." One of the things that gives God great pleasure and joy is his people, his children. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures because I really want you to get this. I want you to understand that God is a joyful God. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing." I mean, get this. This is a picture of God singing. And singing loudly because he's rejoicing over you. God is a joyful God. And then this picture in Luke 15, this picture of God that Jesus gives us in three different parables of things being lost and then being found. And the third parable in Luke 15 is the parable of the lost or the prodigal son. And I want you to see the response of the father when the son returns. The father says, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it." Now understand, Jesus here, when he's giving this parable, he's trying to reveal to the people the heart of God. So he is saying, this is what God is like. He's like this father welcoming back his prodigal son. And so the words that Jesus used to describe this father: "Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Guys, this is the heart of God. They celebrate. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing." This is the heart of God, a celebration, music and dancing over one of his lost children who's come home. Amen. It's the heart of God. He's a rejoicer. One of the things I learned when I became a Christian is that I couldn't dance anymore. And there was some truth to that, because some of that dancing wasn't good dancing. So there was some truth to that, but I want you to know, in heaven, there's going to be some dancing. There's going to be rejoicing and celebrating in the presence of God. This is the heart of God. God is a God of joy. And then finally, I want to give you just one more, Isaiah 65. See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Anything that would sadden us or break our hearts, they're going to be gone. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. For all of eternity, we're going to be in a place of joy and rejoicing. Amen? So if you can't handle that, if you want to spend the rest of eternity being sad, heaven's not going to be a good place for you. It's going to be a place of joy and great rejoicing. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. How could heaven possibly be a joyful place if God is not joyful? Right? I mean, in order for heaven to be a joyful place, God must be a joyful God. Right? God is joyful. Now, so I want to give you a couple things. We're going to close and we're going to pray. I want to give you four things here. First of all, I've spent most of my time on this one. Joy originates in God. Okay? Joy originates in God. You and I are created in the image of God. That's why we have the capacity for and the longing for joy in our lives. Because you and I are created in the image of a joyful God. So to want to have joy in your life is not sinful, it's not wrong, it's not unspiritual. When we have joy and gladness in our hearts, we're actually becoming more like Jesus. I'm going to say that again, because only one person say amen. Said amen. When we have joy and gladness in our hearts, we're actually becoming more like Jesus. Amen. Yeah, because we're created in the image of a joyful God, okay? The second thing I want you to know is that joy is a gift from God to his people. It's a gift from God. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says, God will provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So God takes that garment, or rather the ashes, and he gives us oil of joy. He takes our mourning and replaces that with a garment of praise instead of that spirit of despair that is so prevalent in our world. Joy is a gift from God. Third thing I want you to take away is this. We need to guard our joy. We need to guard our joy. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. He wants to rob you of your joy, but Jesus said, I have come that they might have abundant life. So the gift of joy that God gives us is something we need to protect, because there is an enemy of our souls who wants to steal our joy from us. So the way we do this, the way we maintain joy in our lives, the way we guard that joy is, first of all, you have to guard your time with Jesus. Because joy mostly comes from staying close to God. But then we also need to guard our hearts from the things that would rob us of joy. Things like resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, excessive worrying, right? All of those things will rob you of your joy, for sure. So we must constantly guard our hearts against those things. They're poison. They're poison to your spirit. They're poison to your soul. If you allow those things into your heart, if you dwell on those things, they will rob you of the joy that God has for you. And then just practical things, the practical things that we need to do to guard our joy. We need to guard against, and I say this in this Christmas season because this is a typical time we can fall into this trap. When you start spending more money than you have, I'm just telling you, it might be fun for a little bit, but when the bills come due, you're going to be robbed of your joy, right? Spending more money than you should spend is going to be a joy robber. So there's practical things that we need to do in our lives to maintain the joy that God has for us. We need to guard our joy. And then number four, there's nothing that restores joy like spending time in God's presence. When joy is lacking in our lives, there's nothing that will restore that joy. The problem is we have a tendency to try to fill those voids with other things. We feel a little sad, we're feeling a little down, so we'll try this, we'll try that. And some of those things are fine, they're good, but I'm just telling you, they're no replacement for Jesus, right? So when it comes to having joy in your life, there's nothing like spending time with Jesus, spending time with in his word, spending time in prayer, being here in church this morning, being with God's people. There's nothing in all of this world that will replace that in terms of restoring joy to your life. Psalm 17:11, again, I read this one earlier. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, in the presence of Jesus, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Real lasting joy, guys, comes from being connected to Jesus more than anything else. And so this morning, as I said earlier, I want to take a minute right now and just pray for the joy of the Lord in our lives. I'm going to give you one last verse because this is my prayer for you this morning. Job chapter 8 and verse 21. Kind of a funny book to find joy in, the book of Job, but it's there. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. It's this gift from God, the joy of the Lord. I want to tell you a little story. I'm hesitant to tell this because I don't want you to think I'm wacko. Some of you are like, too late, right? And I'm just, all right, okay, all right, I got you. But this really happened to me. I had been the pastor at Bethel for, I think, 2 years. So this was 16, 17 years ago. And I was just, as I was pastoring, just the weight of pastoring was really starting to weigh me down. Just all the things that go along with it. Pastoring is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of responsibility that comes with pastoring. And just, I was worrying about church finances and just things with people and just some counseling situations. And I was just feeling very, very weighted down. And the joy of pastoring really wasn't there, to be honest with you. And we had a men's retreat. And I really didn't want to go to the men's retreat because I was feeling weighted down and I was feeling so busy. But I went to the men's retreat because I felt like I should. And so we're there at this men's retreat and we're having a time of worship, just worshiping the Lord. And I could hardly worship, to be honest with you. I was having a hard time worshiping because I was feeling weighted down. But as I began to worship with all of these men, God did something for me. And I'm just standing there, and it's just like heaven opened up over me. And the joy of the Lord just started filling me. It wasn't something I asked God for. It wasn't something I was expecting. It wasn't something that was preached about that night. And all of a sudden, I mean, everybody's worshiping. And before I know it, I am laughing like from my gut, I am laughing, and I cannot stop. I am laughing, 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 and I am there just thinking, these guys are going to think I have lost my mind. And in the end, I left that retreat so much lighter. My spirit was just lifted up and restored, and it was just something God knew. That had never happened to me before that, and it hasn't happened since, but it was something special that happened to me that particular moment because God knew I needed it. And all I can describe it as, it was the joy of the Lord. It was the joy of the Holy Spirit. It was a special gift God gave to me. Now, I know usually it doesn't happen that way. A lot of times when it comes to joy, we need to choose joy, right? We need to choose rejoicing and choose joy, and God blesses that. He really does. So I'm not saying this is an everyday thing. I'm just saying for that moment, God knew what I needed. And God did this verse in my life. He filled my mouth with laughter. He actually did this. And so my prayer is, and I'm not saying God's going to do this exact thing for you, but my prayer is this morning that God is going to fill your life with joy. That this Christmas season is going to be a joyful season. That the weight of this world, the heaviness of this life is not going to weigh you down, but that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Can I pray that over your life? Yeah. Let's just look to the Lord right now. Would you stand up? Just stand up in the presence of the Lord. God is here. God is here. He loves you. He loves you. He wants his joy to be your strength today. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Just lift your hands up. Just being open before God and saying, God, here I am. Come and fill my life. Lord, I pray right now. I pray right now, God, that the joy of the Lord will sweep over this place, God. Lord, that you will fill our mouths with praise. You will fill our hearts, God, with the joy that only comes from knowing you, God. That joy that the world cannot possibly begin to understand, that joy that the world could never give us, God, that nothing in this life can give us, Lord, that the things in this world that are so temporary, God, Lord, none of that will give us the joy that our hearts long for. God, we celebrate today that you're a joyful God, that you rejoice over your people, and I believe, God, right now, you're rejoicing over your people. You're rejoicing over your people. You take joy. You smile down on your children, God. You sing over your people, Lord. And I thank you for that. And God, I pray, Lord, that that rejoicing, God, would fill our hearts today, God. We would rejoice in you. We would rejoice in you. Come on, lift your voice. Let's just rejoice in who God is right now. Just rejoice in him. Rejoice in him. Come on, church. Lift your voice to the Lord. God, we celebrate you. We celebrate Jesus today. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray that joy, the joy of the Lord, God, over each and every person, God. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning, they are feeling especially weighted down, God, by a circumstance or maybe some even choices that they've made. God, I pray that today, God, that heaviness is going to be broken. That heavy yoke is going to be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, you said, come to me, you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have said, Lord, that your yoke is easy, Lord. It's light. And so, God, I pray that that yoke of heaviness would be broken this morning in the name of Jesus and replaced instead by a lightness and a joy that comes from you, God. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. You are so good. You are so good, God. We praise you, Lord. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, this Christmas season, connect with Jesus. Connect with Jesus. Make it all about Jesus. In his presence, there's joy. Amen? Don't make it about the other stuff. That other stuff is going to rob you of your joy. Make it about Jesus. Guard the joy that God is giving to you. Guard it with everything you have. Don't let the enemy get into your heart and rob you of joy. Guard the joy that God has given to you. Amen.